One sat alone beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
I want to speak tonight on the catch-all of the Bible. Or maybe a better subject would be God's biggest umbrella. And there's room for all under it. But there are certain requirements to get under it. I'll give you tonight the verse that's used most and probably misused most in the Bible. I'll give you a verse that people hardly ever think of until the cyclone hits or the twister, the tornado, or the hurricane, or tragedy overtakes, and then they run to the catch-all verse. We could call it, in a sense, the smorgasbord verse, because it does have, I think, promise and everything that we really are hungry for and need. But before I come to it, I'd like to share with you this article that has long last come out in the paper, and to me there's a tinge of sadness, and I trust real repentance. Mrs. Madeline Murray, O'Hare's son, says he regrets the prayer suit. A son of atheist, Madeline Murray O'Hare, renounced his mother's organization and apologize for his part in the suit that ended prayer in public schools. Looking back on the 33 years of life I wasted without faith and without God, I pray that I may be able to correct just some of the wrong I've created. William Murray of Houston said in a letter published in the Austin American Statesman. Murray, then 16, was plaintiff in the 1963 litigation that led to a ban on classroom prayers. He said the part I played as a teenager in removing prayer from public schools was criminal. I removed from our future generations that short time each day, which should rightly be reserved for God. Inasmuch as the suit to destroy the tradition of prayer in school was brought in my name, I feel gravely responsible for the resulting destruction of the moral fiber of our youth that it is called, he said. Murray also apologized to the people of Austin for helping build his mother's personal empire. My crime was twofold, in that I was aware of the wrong of my actions at the time and continued them for the purpose of my financial profit. I was continuing to practice the hateful and anti-moral way of life I had learned from birth in an atheistic home. He said he felt deep regret for streamlining Madeline Murray O'Hare's society and moving it from a falling down three-room house to a modern staffed office complex. I loathe the idea that I lowered myself to editing her anti-God magazine. Brother, that's a new day, isn't it? Thank God for a young man that had the courage to take a stand to get against his mother's idolatry and horrible stand. Our text tonight could be none other than Romans 8:28. Really, I'm going to preach the message in the form of a question. What happened to Romans 8:28? That's what the world says. Brother Olaf, where is your Romans 8:28? It's in the same place it's always been. Romans 8:28. I think we better read the verses that go before. Beginning, if you will, at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall anything the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Our Father, we've just read probably the greatest and the most securing statements in the Bible concerning the revelation of truth that works, that satisfies, and meets every need. Now give me liberty, and may the Word of God run and have free course tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you may turn with me to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter, I think we'll stop in 22 and then get on into 23. I want to give you some verses that were given in the second book of the Bible. That's been a long time ago when they were written. I want to see maybe if you believe that these verses could work today. We're living in a day of witchcraft. They teach it in the schools. And yet, I'm going to give you what God said about a witch. Verse 18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Put the death sentence on them. Now, let me ask you something. If witchcraft was wrong when they wrote the second book of the Bible, don't you suppose it would still be wrong today? Have we ever gotten anybody in that was in witchcraft that had any measure of victory? The answer is no. Witchcraft and dope are kinfolk. Both of them will ruin the mind. And so God just said, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Verse 22, ye shall not afflict any widow, our fatherless child, If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I'll surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I'll kill you. That's pretty plain, isn't it? He said, if I catch you abusing a widow or an orphan, I'll kill you. You know, I've been saying we need a revival and regeneration of Sinai preachers. We need a bunch of preachers that take another lap around Sinai and get a good look at an angry God. You know, the great preacher used to preach on this subject, sinners in the hands of an angry God. You said, does God get angry? Yes. He's angry at sin every day, the Bible says. God never does get into good use. And I tell you what, most people don't believe. They don't believe that scripture over there where he says, be ye angry. Be ye angry. The man who helps the most people get out of sin is the man who hates sin the most, but he loves the sinner. Be ye angry and sin not. In other words, if you don't stay angry, you're living in sin. Best way in the world for me to fight the devil is to stay mad at him. Hate sin. And let not the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't you ever let sundown find you not mad. Now, I know people want to put it to opposite, but that's not true. He said, let him that stole steal no more. Neither give place to the devil. Never make any room for old Satan. All right? Now then, let's go a little further. In the 23rd chapter, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, and the multitude always is on the evil road. The Bible says that the biggest crowd will be living in sin. That's always been so. Now, would you look at that fourth verse for a moment, 23:4. Now, you talk about going back into the Old Testament and picking up a glimpse of the Spirit of Jesus. I'm talking about in the second book of the Bible. These are the law books. This is the Pentateuch. These are the first five books written by the lawyer by the name of Moses. I want you to look at that fourth verse. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, kill him. Huh? That's what the world would say. What did he say? Well, he said, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. You mean to tell me if I meet my enemy's donkey going down the road that I'm to get me a rope and put around his neck? If I meet his old ox or milk cow going down the road, you mean I'm to get a rope and take my time and lead that cow back to my enemy? That's what he said. I didn't say he said it. Brother, that's just acting like Jesus. Whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, if you find a man that has the Spirit of the Lord, you'll find him treating people right. Now, get the next verse. This is some verse here. Verse 8. Thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Now, you know what that verse says to me? He said it'll pervert the words of the wise. I believe that when we begin to compromise our convictions in order to get something of this world, we lose out with God and express our distrust in the Lord. And I tell you, that verse has been a good one for me, and it's a good one for you. Thou shalt take no gift. I don't know how to say it except just to say that the world cannot believe that this preacher can handle as many millions of dollars as he's handled and have none saved up anywhere. None. I can raise my right hand to heaven tonight and say that I have a less than $100 in the bank for my life savings. You say, you see, Brother Wolof, you're a bad businessman. Is that what you think? Let me tell you something, Buster. Here's my savings, and here's my savings, and there's my savings. Now I'll guarantee they'll go home with me. You put her down. My savings is in a bank that'll never bust. My money system and my stock market will never go down, but up. And my stock's going up with it. I'm not bragging. I'm just simply saying, brother, what you got down here, you can't take with you up there unless it's spiritual. And I'm asking the question tonight, does Romans 8:28 still work? Many times, we cannot explain, neither understand the circumstances through which Romans 8:28 will work. God doesn't run Romans 8:28 on my track every time. There are times I know it's going to work. But sometimes I say, Lord, when? Could you just throw it in gear right now? You see, every time somebody, you take two cars come together, you know, they pick up a dead body, and some it's tragically hurt, and somebody maybe throws a cigarette down, begins to cry, and a beer bottle's busted, and a liquor bottle fell out of his pocket. All things work together for good. All things. No, I don't think you're under the umbrella. I think you're looking for saved. I mean, you just, in the first place, why did it take place? Did you know that most people live by accident instead of providence? You're not looking at somebody that's accident-free now. I tell you what, I've had some accidents, as the old-timers used to say. But let me ask you, if you lived in the perfect will of God, how many accidents would you really have? Is God an accident? No. Is Jesus an accident? Did he live by accidents? Was it just an accident that he came down from heaven, took on the form of a little baby, and lived and died and rose? No. Was Elijah or Elisha? Are Matthew, Mark, Luke, were they accidents? No, sir. I want to give you a verse. This is a great verse. 23:20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Now, that's Exodus chapter 23. And verse 20. Now, did somebody come before Jesus? You say, yes, sir. What was it in John? What did he do? John went before him, prepared the way, and Jesus came. And then John bowed off the stage of action, said, I'm not worthy to untie his shoelaces. And he went to the jailhouse and so forth. But dear friend, he was in the will of God. There's one thing that makes you and me safe and secure and immortal in time as well as eternity, and that's to move over in the will of God, and we are secure until we finish what he assigned us to do. Now, to me, that dignifies life. You'd say, but I'm just a dirt digger. I'm a farmer. I'm a dairyman. I'm a big, whatever you may be. If you're in the will of God and doing what he tells you to do, then you can rest secure. Know that... And be assured that he's going to help you to get... You know what David said to Solomon, his son? He said, Solomon, my son, be strong and of good courage and do it. For God shall not leave you nor forsake you until you've finished all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. Let me tell you something tonight. There's one thing that adds real assurance and peace and security to life, and that is, am I carrying out heaven's assignment? Am I where I ought to be? Am I living in doubt, or am I sure of the will of God? Now then, I want to pick out some people, and we'll let some questions be raised tonight. Number one, David, how you getting along? Just fine. Really? Well, I'm having my problems. Have you been anointed? Oh, yeah, he said, I've been anointed. What did they anoint you to be king? King? Well, David, I'd like to have a little visit with you. It so happens that, according to my radar screen, you're hiding in a cave. And David, I just want to have a little conference with you. What are you doing in here? You're king, aren't you? Well, he said, I was figuring on being. David, how long has it been since you were anointed? 7 years. And still hiding? Running? David! Where's Romans 8:28, please? That's what the world says. Listen, he even lodged with the Philistines, the enemies of the people of God. He knew that he was more secure and hidden better away in the Philistine camp than he was over there on the other side. And somebody said, David, it's rumored that you've been anointed king. You're supposed to be in Jerusalem. What about Romans 8:28? Doesn't very well work, does it? Dear friend, you remember the verse that I've hung on to? For you need patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Folks, God's promise will never fail. Did you know that I've got more courage and confidence in God today? Did you know there's never been a day or a night that I didn't have peace in my heart? My confidence in Jesus has grown stronger every year. I have more reason to believe. Listen, I've said all the time, I say again, I'd 1,000 times be where I am, even in jail, than to be on that other side, or compromising, or going down to Egypt. Did you know the devil gave David some real opportunities to go ahead and get the throne, didn't he? Why, he walked up, and you know good and well that the Lord must have given his bodyguard, I mean Saul's bodyguard, a deep anesthetic. Those fellows looked like was sound asleep. He walked up in the camp, got his sword, cut off his robe, altered his clothes, and walked away. Next morning said, Hey, Saul, David, I could have killed you. Touch not mine anointed. He said, I couldn't do it. Oh, listen, I've got all sorts of soldiers. They'd have killed you. I'd have been. Listen, David actually, if he'd wanted to kill Saul, he could have been on the throne 7 years earlier, but he waited on Romans 8:28. I tell you, it costs you to jump the gun on God. It just to run ahead. I tell you, I believe it's just about as dangerous to run ahead of God as it is to run behind him. You'd say, who else is depending on Romans 8:28? Well, little old Joseph. There's not anybody in the Bible that had a rougher time than Joseph. He was just a little boy. He dreamed dreams. His brothers, they couldn't even speak peaceably to him. The Bible said they didn't even treat him like a human being. They wouldn't even speak peaceably to him. Little old Joseph could come up and said, Good morning, brothers, drop dead. Huh? Hey, y'all this morning, may the Edomites cut your tongue out and bear it in the desert, huh? Something like that. Tear him up. They didn't even talk. They weren't even civil to their own brother. And Joseph could have said, Lord, where's Romans 8:28? Looks to me like you've made some promises. I don't know why I dreamed all them dreams, and I haven't done anything against them. Went up there, you remember, to check on them, maybe take some provisions, and they saw him come and said, here comes the dreamer boy. we'll just kill him. One of them said, no, put him in the pit. Just put him in the pit. He thought he'd go rescue him, send him home to his dad. And while he was gone, they took Joseph out of the pit, sold him to the Ishmaelite slave traders. His brother came back and said, went over to the pit, and he said, where's my little brother? Oh, they said, we already sold him. Can you see little old Joseph? I mean, to me, that's some scene in the Bible. They put him in chains, and little old fellas walking along with a bunch of old heathens. And I mean, down the road he goes a-crying up a storm. Don't you mind the devil said, hey, Joseph, what about Romans 8:28? He said, well, maybe it'll get in gear directly. You see, God is not obligated to make everything work out the way you think it, or maybe when you think it ought to work. But brother, Joseph goes on down, and you know what happens? Potiphar buys a handsome young Jew slave and said, boy, that's a good one. And he puts him to work, and little old Joseph had been taught to work, and he went in there, and he did everything he could do. And the man said, Joseph, I believe you're about the best worker I've ever had. I trust you. I'll turn everything over to you except my wife. That's all I'm going to keep away from you. Now think about it, Joe. You got all my books. You got all my checkbooks. You got all my property. I mean, you're my prime minister of my state. Now, son, I'm fixing to go on a journey now, and I'll be back. I'm turning everything over to you. And you know the story, don't you? An old sorry, spoiled, rotten, rich man's wife flirted with a handsome Jew boy, and her pride was wounded deep because he did not think too much of her flirtations and said, let me tell you something, sister. He's turned everything over to me but you, and while he's gone, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Get it straight. And she said, oh, big boy. Oh, I imagine she thought this is the first time Potiphar's wife has ever been ignored. My pride is wounded. And she lied about him. Husband came in. She said, you know that little old Jew you brought in here? Said, he's a sorry rat. Came in here and made an attack on me. And I got his coat. And here it is. And little old Joseph ran so fast. He run out with his character, didn't he? He said, I don't mind losing my coat, but I'm going to keep my character. You're not going to get your silly hands on me. And he took off. The man said, Joe, I thought I could trust you, son. He said, you can, sir. I'm not guilty. He called the sheriff, said, you can come get him now. Little old Joe got the chains on him again. I imagine he said, reckon where Romans 8:28 is. I thought sure is working. I really thought it's in gear. I thought when I got this good job down here, but looks to me like it doesn't work. Went down to the jailhouse, looked around, he said, I believe we ought to get rid of these roaches. I think we ought to sweep out. Boys, let's get with it. Would y'all bring me a mop and a mop bucket? I want to clean this thing up. And I want to be doing something. I don't want to sit here and watch television. I want to do something worthwhile. Boy, he cleaned that whole jail up. Yeah. Then God gave him his opportunity, didn't he? Two fellows had a dream. The butler and the baker. The butler said, I had a dream. I wish somebody could tell me what it means. Joseph said, I can. Said, what was it? He said, man, you fixing to go back to your old job. Man, you'll be back in the king's palace. You'll be the butler. I mean, you'll be shining his boots again shortly. Well, you're going to be right back in the big palace. And he said, really? He said, yeah. About that time, they called his name, said, come on, king's calling for you. Got your job back. Other fellow said, man, I wish you'd tell me what's going to happen to me. I had a dream myself. He said, you fix and get your head lifted off. I mean, the bird's going to get you. And sure enough, it happened. But you know, before the butler left for the palace. Joseph, you know, after all, I believe anybody has got a right to help God work Romans 8:28 in his own life. I mean, Joseph knew it's going to work, but he said, Lord, I'll do anything I can to speed it up a little bit. And so he called the butler and he said, man, when you get to the king, don't forget old Joe. I don't plan to make a career out of this jail. I'm doing all right, but I'm planning to get out of here. And he said, I've got more ambition than just to be a janitor in the jail. Oh, he said, man, I'll never forget you. Well, I guess I won't. Man, as soon as I get up there, I'll tell them about old Joe. You, the one that told me about my dream. They need people like that, see, to interpret dreams. He got up there, forgot all about him. The devil said, Joe, where's your Romans 8:28? He said, it'll work. After a while, the king came in to breakfast one day, I imagine, and he said, boy, I'm in trouble. I had a dream. And my dreamer boys, my interpreters, they can't do anything about it. You know what the butler said? I do this day remember my faults. I promised Joe I wouldn't forget him. And I've been reminded. There's a boy down in the jail that sure tell you what it means. Huh? I hear him knocking on the door. Jailer said, who do you want? Want Joseph. Joseph said, that's my name, Romans 8:28. That's it, Romans 8:28. Took him up there, and the king said, son, you think you could? Oh, yes, he said, I can interpret the dream. 7 years of tremendous prosperity, such as you've never known, and 7 years of solid drought and famine and starvation. He said, really? He said, yes, sir. He said, we better start building some barns. But Joseph, you know, became the prime minister and stood and listened. After his brethren came down, half starved, pick up groceries, he said, Romans 8:28 still works. And it did. When his dad finally died, and of course he went up to get him, brought him down. When he died, it scared those brothers of his to death. They said, man, Joseph will kill us. I mean, after Dad's dead, because of what we did, we almost killed him, and we sold him, and now then he's going to get even with us, you see. They came in, and they tried to tell him that, you know, the dad said, have mercy on us and be kind to us. Joseph said, am I in the place of God? I don't kill. God kills. I leave that in his hands. Now, fellas, let's face it. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And God sent me ahead of you, Romans 8:28. What about Moses? Can you imagine? David waited 7 years. Moses waited 80, but he waited 40 in the wilderness. 40 long years Moses waited for Romans 8:28 to go to work. And yet, can you see 3,500,000 people? That ought to give us a little hope and courage. Do you believe that we're living in a modern wilderness today? Do you believe that we're facing some things that no generation, at least in America, has ever faced? Do you believe that God still loves us, his pilgrims, as much as he loved the Israelites that traveled through the wilderness? Do you believe that God has run out of provisions and cannot take care of his own? No, sir. Moses, I believe, found out that Romans 8:28 did work. Let me give you one more. And this is a backslider. This is a runner. He's going in the wrong way. His name's Jonah. God said, Jonah, rise and go to that wicked city called Nineveh, a Gentile city, and cry against their sin. And Jonah said, not me, Lord. Not me. Do you believe that Romans 8:28 would work and would save a backslider? Got on the boat, paid his fare, and went down 3 times. The Bible said, finally, he persuaded the men that he was the trouble I'm running from God. It's my fault. The storm is here. It'll settle down if. And I might as well say it. I believe America's in a storm right now because of backslidden, compromising preachers. I believe we'd come out of it if the preachers would climb on their hind legs and cry out against sin and call sin what it is and present Christ as the only hope and the only remedy. What am I talking about tonight? Unless you have Jesus Christ and the power of God and old-fashioned Bible conviction, you're wasting your time and tax money and Lord's money, everything else. Jonah, bring what's going to happen to you. Well, he shouldn't. Y'all might as well throw me overboard. This whole thing go down. And he got him to pitch him overboard. And Bible said the seaweeds wrapped around his head. Fish came swimming along, swallowed him up. And Jonah took a little cruise. I'd like to ask you something, Jonah. Where's Romans 8:28? Boy, you in the most unusual motel you've ever been in. Now, the motel went up to the shore, opened its mouth, and hit the ground running toward Nineveh. Started preaching in 40 days, less time to take clean the streets of the city. Revival broke out, the city was saved, the people fasted and prayed, and Romans 8:28 worked again. You know, I heard the story of a man they call old Romans 8:28. And this man was working in a coal mine, and he worked around a lot of wicked people. No matter what went wrong, he would say, Romans 8:28. And he and the men were there, ready to go down the shaft and get in the cage that took them hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet down to the depth of the coal mine. And just before they came back for another load, an old mangy-looking, mixed-up dog came up, hungry, starving, half to death, and put his mouth on the handle of the dinner bucket of old Romans 8:28, and took off through the bushes, and Romans 8:28 started after him. I want you to know, and those fellows laughed and kidded and said to him, where's Romans 8:28? There he goes. They called him Romans 8:28. All of a sudden, the cage came up. They stepped inside, and Romans 8:28 missed it, running that dog, trying to get his dinner bucket. And after a while, he came back, but when they got in and started down, the whole thing somehow lost control and plunged a half a mile, and everybody on it was killed, except Romans 8:28. A preacher said that happened to a man, and God used an old mangy dog to make Romans 8:28 work. One of his children. Let me tell you something. God hasn't forgotten us. He hadn't lost our address. His ravens are still flying, and I'm expecting victory to come. Yes, you go through the Bible, and I want to give you one more. Turn to Romans, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Who wrote Romans 8:28? Man by the name of Paul. You say, Brother Olaf, how in the world could a man believe Romans 8:28 that suffered what he suffered? Chapter 2, 2 Corinthians, verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Chapter 6. Now, folks, I'm going to read you something. And if there's anybody in the Bible now that we could call brother, Romans 8:28, this would be the one. Chapter 6, and beginning at verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in afflictions, necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the truth of, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Well, he said, by honor and dishonor. One more, and I'm through. Chapter 11, verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, or in perils among false brethren, weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul, how did you make it? Romans 8:28. You'd say, you mean to tell me that I might go through some of that? Yep. But who cares as long as Romans 8:28 work? Folks, Romans 8:28 still working. And I don't operate it. God does. Vengeance is none of my business. But it's God's business. And I'm glad that Jesus still loves us, stands by us. I want to sing a song in closing about a little gypsy boy. I like this song. I like the words. I like the pathos. I like the way it winds up.
Into the tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carried, said he, but nobody ever has told it to me. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story repeat o'er and o'er. Till none can say of the children of men, nobody ever has told me before. Did he so love me, just a poor gypsy boy? Send unto me the good tidings of joy. Need I not perish, my hand will he hold. Nobody ever the story has told. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story repeat for. Nobody ever has told me before. Bending, we caught the last words of his breath, just as he entered the valley of death. God sent his son, whosoever, said he. Then I just know that he sent him for me. Smiling, he said, as his last sigh he spent, I am so glad that for me he was sent. Whispered while low sank the sun in the west, Lord, I believe, tell it now to the rest. Tell it again, tell it again. Salvation story.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.